Father, we give you the praise this morning. We give you the honor this morning. We give you the worship this morning. We appreciate you. We glorify you. Thank you for being present here. Thank you for being in the midst of your people. We ask that no one among us will leave here the same way they have come. Thank you for the testimonies of your intervention in our midst today. Be glorified, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord the praise as you take your seat. Thank you, Lord. In this Holy Ghost service this morning, Liberty in the Spirit, in this month of taking charge in the realm of our health, wholeness, and liberty, we're going to be looking at a very, very important subject before we return back to praying for our liberty, and it is titled The Origin of Curses, Bondage, and Captivity. The Origin of Curses, Bondage, and Captivity. Our objective is to understand the way into captivity, curses, bondage, and captivity, the way into it. And second, to understand the way out of them. Understanding the way into bondage, into curses, bondage, and captivity. And the second is to understand the way out of bondage. Curses, bondage, and captivity. Curses, bondage, and captivity. What is it that gets a person into it? And what is it that can take a person out of it? Everyone knows that curses, bondage, captivity are situations that human beings deal with on a continuous, on a frequent basis. That is why you have the issue of deliverance here and there. The lady was testifying about how she was bound by spirit husbands, spirit wives, spirit husband, lesbian spirits, and those kind of things. And they were even charging her money. Proverbs chapter 26 and in verse 2, the Bible said, as the bird by wandering, and as the swallow by flying, so the curse, causeless, shall not come. So most curses have a curse. Curses, they have what caused them. I preached many years ago, close to 20 years ago, on curses, and cures. And I'm sure that it can be a counterpart for this message. I want to define curses, bondage, and then captivity. Then we'll proceed. What is a curse? Curses are negative forces that limit, resist, hinder, or destroy. Curses are negative forces that limit, hinder, resist, or destroy
human potential, possibility, and progress. There are forces, negative forces. They limit, they hinder, they resist, they destroy human potentials, human possibility, human progress. In extreme cases, they destroy human lives. For example, the curse of premature death. These are curses. There are many more definitions of a curse, but I'll stop there for today. What about bondage? Bondage. Bondage has to do with the condition of being bound, chained, or tied in one area or the other of life. Where a person is bound, is chained, is tied in one area or the other of life. For example, we heard about that man who was bound by alcoholism for 35 years. That devil chained him, he tied him. Nobody knew he could be free. The villagers are surprised because he was bound, he was chained, he was tied. What about captivity? Captivity is the situation of imprisonment, confinement, and restriction or deprivation of freedom. Captivity is the condition of imprisonment, confinement of life and destiny, and the restriction, or in fact, prohibition of freedom. When a person is in prison, his freedom is limited. He can move, but just within the premises of the prison. So a captivity situation is where somebody sees like the life is in prison. Life in prison. Life in confinement. Life in restriction. Where there is prohibition of freedom. Having said all of this, what could give rise to curses, bondage, or captivity? I'm going to look at 10 roots, 10 origins, 10 sources of all of this. Whatever can give rise to a curse, can give rise to a bondage, can also give rise to a captivity. Number one is disobedience to God in sin or iniquity. Disobedience to God. The life of disobedience to God, like in sin, in iniquity, attracts the curse, attracts bondage, attracts captivity. It attracts the curse. The first curse that came at creation, it happened because Adam and Eve disobeyed God. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 to verse 17, Genesis 2, 15 to 17. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Long story made short, in Genesis chapter 3 and in from verse 7 down, or rather from verse 1 actually, Adam and Eve had already eaten the fruit and attracted the curse. You go all the way to verse 8, they already attracted the curse. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. And we know all the rest of the story. And God cursed the man and cursed the earth for his sake, and cursed the woman and cursed the serpent. That brought the curse because they disobeyed God and they went into the life of sin. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 to 2. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 to 2. It said, and it shall come to pass that if thou shalt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come unto you and overtake you, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. So you obey God and the blessings come on you. Now look at verse 15 of Genesis 28, verse 15 to verse 16. But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shall thou be in the city, and cursed shall thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, and the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Now, so the disobedience is attracting the curses. In the book of Psalm 68 and in verse 6, Psalm 68 and in verse 6, it said, God setteth the solitary in families, he bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious, rebellion to God, rebellion to parents, rebellion to authority figures, it can bring the, especially spiritual authority, can bring the curse. Somebody say a loud amen. Now, so generally sin, but there are specific types that seem to have a very, very quick impact on curses. Like, look at Zechariah chapter 5, verse 1 to verse 5. He said, then I turned and I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll. And he said unto me, what seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll. The length thereof is 20 cubits. And the breadth thereof 10 cubits. Then said he unto me, this is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. For everyone that stealeth, the thief is a cursed man. Whether he's stealing from a person, stealing from a church, stealing from a government, he's a cursed man. For everyone that stealeth shall be cut off. That is, stealing can cut a life off. As on this side according to it, and everyone that sweareth shall be cut off as on that side according to it. Keep going. And I'll bring it forth, said the Lord of hosts, and he shall enter into the house of the thief, and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name. And he shall remain in the midst of his house, and shall consume it with the timber thereof. And the stones there. So the investment of the thief has no future. Whatever he's told to use the money for doesn't have a future. He can't. One of the largest presidential palaces in the world was in the Democratic Republic of Congo. It has about 51 presidential palaces inside it, such that when the presidents of the world come, they don't need to stay anywhere, they stay inside there. It has an airport inside it. It has everything inside it by the late Mobutu Sese Seko, who raped that country dry. DRC is one of the most endowed, if not the most endowed nation of the, on the earth in terms of mineral deposits and resources. But that place is vacant now. Nobody lives there. That palace is vacant now. Nobody is there. Think there may be lions or whatever. No human being stays there. Hallelujah. And so when people live like that, somebody's money dropped, you carried it. Somebody overpaid you, you kept it back. You are dealing with your future. You are dealing with your life. You are dealing with the life of your children. Hallelujah. Now, Like I said, disobedience to God is sin and iniquity generally, but this is specific and there are other specifics. Now let's go on. Number two is abominable behavior or practice. Abominable behavior or practice attracts the curse. You know, there is sin, but there is a one that shifts into abomination. In Leviticus 18, 21 to verse 25, look at what the Bible said. And thou shalt not let any of your seed, your children, pass through the fire, sacrificing the children to Molech. Neither shall you profane the name of the Lord your God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. Man lying with man, woman lying with woman. It is an abomination. Neither shall you lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast or lie down thereto. It is confusion. Are you understanding that? Man with animal, animal with man. Defile not yourselves in any of these things. For in all these, the nations are defiled, which I cast before you. And the land is defiled. Therefore, I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomited out her inhabitants. That's a curse. When the land is releasing the people out, it's a curse. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9. The Bible said, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Abominable practices. When you see a practice that this one is too bad, there is a place that we heard about where they practice what they call endocannibalism. That is, I think it is their dead relation that died. They eat it. There are places where before you get married, you carry your wife that you just married or wife to be for your relations and uncles to test the wife first for you. These are abominations that provoke curses. Anything that looks strange to the ear, that looks abominable, that even common sense will say how, it provokes curses. God said, I am bringing you to the land of Canaan and all of these lands, and I'm releasing the people from this. He says, it's because of this behavior that I am sacking these people from this land and giving you their land. If you behave like them, I will deal with you likewise. Somebody say louder, amen. Abominable behavior. Send your daughter to prostitution so he can bring you money to feed. It's an attraction of curses. It's an attraction of curses. And this abominable behavior that people are seeing, I've seen mothers tell children, don't you know what to do? Don't you see what your mates are doing? Abominable behavior. So number one is disobedience to God in sin and iniquity. It attracts the curse, attracts bondage, attracts captivity. Number two is abominable behavior or practice. Number three is wickedness and bloodshed. Wickedness brings the curse. Wickedness brings the curse. Bloodshed brings the curse. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 33, he said, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blessed the habitation of the just. Show me a man who acts so wickedly. He is heartless. He behaves heartlessly against his neighbor, against the system, against the people. Talk about ritual killers. patronize, making a living out of selling human beings. Talk about wicked, demonic kidnappers, terrorists and bandits and so-called agents of darkness killing the people in the name of religion. Those are people under a curse that they can never recover from. Curse. Wickedness, bloodshed. When, you see, the Bible said in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 17, you say, be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why should you die before your time? Verse 18, 16. Why should you die before your time? All right, it's all right. Why should you die before your time? Wickedness. Now, Jeremiah 22 and in verse 13. Jeremiah 22, verse 13. He said, woe unto him that builded his house by wickedness, unrighteousness, and his chambers by wrong, that useth his neighbor's service without wages, and giveth him not for his work. I am a big man, you worked for me. We agree that I should pay you 50,000. I gave you 25,000. And I say, excuse me, sir, my balance is 25,000. I say, that's all I have to give you. He says, sir, but we agree. He says, do your worst. Do your worst. I've given you what I can give you. Just because you are in the position where the man cannot challenge you, you oppressed him, you say, do your worst. You are under a curse with your seed. We have seen things in our nation today where people tell each other, do your worst, whatever you can go and do. Those are cursed human beings. Cursed. It took somebody to court to carry their land from them. You know it is their own, but you have the money to spend. You are under a curse. Cost. You understand what I'm saying? Under a curse. Wickedness brings curses. It brings curses to people. It brings curses to the seed of the people. But that will never be your portion. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say, whoa, you use your neighbors, you are taking advantage of your neighbor, using their service. If you cannot afford their service, leave them alone. Do it yourself. That's how a lot of people brought curses upon themselves. Numbers 35, 33 to 34. He said, so you shall not pollute the land wherein you are, for blood it defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. Defile not therefore the land which you shall inhabit wherein I dwell, for I, the Lord, dwell among you. Say, the land cannot be cleansed of the blood except the blood of him that shed it. That is, the killer has a death sentence on his life. He has a death sentence on his life. It's a matter of time. Am I communicating? You must not participate in bloodshed. You must not be there. You must not be involved. Whether directly or symbolically, killing people behind them, tearing them down. Wickedness attracts the curse. Some of us are going to have to ask God, Lord, soften my heart. I don't want to be a wicked person. I don't want to be a heartless person. Somebody say amen. You carry somebody's bag that has international passport with American visa, UK visa, Schengen visa, that has their bank details, they have their master's degree in business administration certificate. All you are looking for is some little money, and you got $500 inside a bag. You took that $500 and you trashed the certificate. That is not theft. That is wickedness. That is heartlessness. That is demonism. That is a demonic heart. Because the person is not bothered about the money you took. What is of utmost concern to this person now is that the documents, the things inside. That is why people leave it, and then they put pastors under pressure. Pray for me, pray for me. 2-3 years, he claimed he has repented. Pray for me, I need deliverance. Meanwhile, he tied his life already. There are times that God will forgive, but people will suffer small. If you doubt me, ask Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle repented. But he was the one that sponsored the stoning of Stephen to death. He was standing while he was an unbeliever, holding the cloth of the people. Kill him, finish him. But he has repented. God said, I want you to experience what it means to be stoned. So Paul was stoned too. They stoned him dead, dragged him out of the city dead. God forgave him, yes. But he needed to experience what he cost people. He needed to experience some small. Hallelujah. So, wickedness is, and bloodshed will invite curses. Some of us are battling with things that forefathers did, but today they shall be broken. That's the aim of this service. Number four is consultation with familiar spirits, sorcerers, witch doctors. Consultation. There is nobody who patronizes native doctors, witch doctors, that is not playing with curses. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 31. It said, regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Seek not after wizards. I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 20 and in verse 6. Leviticus 20 and in verse 6. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits, and after wizards that go a warring after them, I will even set my face against that soul, and I will cut him off from among his people. I will cut him off. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10 to 12, and then probably verse 14. He said, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or somebody who consults with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer, those who talk with the dead. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God doth drive them out from before thee. For these nations which thou shalt possess, hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do so. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19. Isaiah 8, 19. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God? Why should the living seek the dead? For the living to the dead. Are you hearing me? There may be people in the church now, any church, with something in the pocket. Say it's a ring or something inside the pocket. That is just a second protection. Oh, yes. I know you go to church, but this world is bad. Oh, my son, I don't want to lose you. I've lost others, so let me take you somewhere. In that place, they won't even ask you to say anything. Just come. There are some of you, they say, okay, if you don't want to come, just bring the money. Don't forget about what we do. Don't worry, we won't do anything bad. Just send the money. You send them 100,000. You say, I didn't consult. They did it on your behalf. They use your exchange, your money to tie your destiny. And you are in church praying and binding and losing and casting and asking for help. It's tough today. And this thing does not exempt people. There are people at all levels, member, worker, leader, even minister. He has something else. He has a mark somewhere. He has gone to bow down to something. See, the country is tough. You know, one day, a young man came to our church. And somebody told him, they said that life is so hard, let's take you and do something for you. He said, really? I don't want anything bad. I don't want to kill person. I don't want to. He said, no, nothing like that. They took him somewhere. They asked him to bring chicken. He brought chicken. The first chicken he brought, his father died. Bring another chicken, his mother died. Bring another chicken, his sibling died. That was when he said, they are dying coincidentally, just dying in coincidence with the chickens. That was when he knew that what they called him for was what was actually killing him, killing the people. And he backed off. Many people have been destroyed, though. One man, and I remember, and my wife will remember this story, doing well, but had some challenges, some area. And somebody came to him and said, I am the native doctor that they have used to tie this area of your life. I want to undo what they asked me to do against you. I want to undo it. He said, just give me some money. He gave the man money to go and undo what he claimed he did against them. That was the end. He cried his chest. He was gone. There are some here who are still sending money for village festivals. Who are still, I'm not part of them, but let me send to them. Beloved, if God be God, serve him. And if it is Baal, serve Baal. Don't mix petrol and water. Don't mix fire and water. Am I communicating at all? Many have brought curses, brought spells, brought limitations, captivity on their lives, on their children. And they are asking for prayer, asking for prayer. Meanwhile, church on Monday, native doctor, church on Sunday, native doctor on Monday, church on Sunday, village on Friday. Some people, when they say, I'm going for a weekend, it is consultation. It's consultation. I'm going to my village over the weekend. It's to go and charge the power. I'm going to come. I'm visiting my constituency over the weekend. Charge the power. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some people have some pot in their house that nobody can see. Some people have some room or cupboard that nobody can open. Yes, 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 yes. Wife and children must not branch near there. And if they come and they just see something they don't understand, it is this. Be careful with yourself. Don't go near there next time. Hallelujah. This is very, very important. Don't play with your life. Don't play with your destiny. God alone is enough. God alone is enough. God alone is enough. God alone is enough. Number four, consultation with familiar spirits, with doctors, sorcerers. Number five, it's evil covenants, contracts, and transactions. Evil covenants, evil contracts, evil transactions. Which one is this? This is the realm of initiations into the occult, the cult. Initiations into the occult, the cult. Into blood covenants and groups. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14 to 18. Proverbs 4, 4 to 18. It says, enter not into the path of the wicked. Don't enter a pact with them. And go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 14 to verse 16. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? What part has he that believeth with an infidel? What concord? What agreement? What covenant? Keep going. For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk with them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Somebody say amen. So we live in this world of covenants. Young man stepped into the university, and then he meets some group of people. Hey, the campus can be so tough. Join with us. Just let's come together. We will stand by you. We'll defend you. Before you know it, he goes into a campus cult. They cut his hand, put blood inside the cup, mix it, they all drink it together. You see, now we are one, we are together. Later on, he's finding life very, 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 very precarious. He tries to do everything. The forces, he's one with all those people that they drank together. All their limitations is affecting his own life. Somebody is about to move to a certain level, maybe management cadre of a certain organization, or does an interview. They say you are highly qualified. In fact, you are the best person for this role. But you must just come into something with us. I've seen many people who say that it was time for them to go forward, except when they brought that element that you need to belong with them. Belong with us. Let's belong together. Say, belong to what? I am out of here, sir. I don't need this job. Am I communicating? Some girl said, if I don't marry you, nobody will marry you. If you don't marry me, nobody will marry you. Let's do blood covenant. As if they poured acid on the brain. Acid on the brain. What kind of mumucious operation is that? Did you know the man from the womb of your mother? And you know everything about the man. And you know everything about the woman. They cut their hand. Mix it. Drink. We are now together. No, if not me, nobody will marry. If not, you know. Yeah. Chronic yeshua syndrome. Very soon, the man finds somebody else to marry. And then you say, he jilted me, abandoned me. Or the girl finds another person. I saw a useless boy wanting to commit suicide. That the girl he wants to marry, say, who marry her? Useless boy. In this world, very useless. He needs, before he die, he needs to be blallered.
Whack him, whip him, saw. Let his eye clear. So that if he wants to still die, he can feel free. Girls. You know, so these are the kind of things people do in this world. And then they are wondering why life is so tight later on. Why things are not smooth. Marriage is difficult. He's now quarreling with his wife every day. Quarreling with the husband every day because there is a covenant with somebody else that they didn't marry. These things are things that bring curses. Number six, is this helping anybody at all? So you can counsel your family, your brothers, your friends, your loved ones. And if anybody is guilty of any of this, it's never too late to make a U-turn and to ask the Lord for mercy. Number six is hereditary, ancestral, or generational transfers. Hereditary, ancestral, or generational transfers. Curses can come by hereditary means, ancestral transfers, generational transfers. In 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18, the Bible said, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. That word vain conversation is empty lifestyle, unprofitable life that you received by transfer from your fathers. So there are things that we receive by transfer from our fathers. Jeremiah 31 verse 29. You know the scripture where he said, in those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape and the children's feet are set on edge. So there was a time until Jeremiah began to decree that they were noticing that fathers did some things and it was affecting the children. They did some things and it was affecting the children. These are generational transfers. I don't have the time because of what we have to deal with now, but if you look through the Bible, you look at the life of Abraham. Abraham's family seemed to have a pattern. Abraham was married. His wife Sarah was barren. Isaac was a son of Abraham married. His wife, Rebecca, was barren. His wife, Sarah, was barren. That's right. That's Abraham. And then, Rebecca was barren. Until Isaac had to pray for Rebecca to be fruitful. And then, you had Jacob married both Rachel and Leah. Both of them were barren. Bible said when God saw that Leah was seated, he opened her womb. So her womb was closed. But Rachel remained barren. So we saw that pattern. We saw the pattern where they had confrontations that made them to tell things that were not true. Confrontations where Abimelech took Abraham's wife. Say, who is he? It's my sister. The king of Gerar took Isaac's wife. Who is Rebecca? It's my sister. Then you went to Jacob. That one improved on all of the other people. His own, it was him. Who are you? I am Esau. You know, confrontations that will always force them to tell untruth, to tell a lie. We see that. Then we see the firstborn of each of them. We are not the custodians of the blessing. Abraham's son, the blessing belonged to Isaac, not Ishmael. Isaac's two children, Esau, the firstborn, and Jacob, the secondborn, the blessing belonged to Jacob. So the firstborns were not the carriers. And of course, Jacob's firstborn, Reuben, that one was totally useless. Totally useless. That one didn't fall anywhere. He was not the priesthood family, which was Levi's. He was not the prophetic family of Issachar. He was not the kingship family of Judah. He was nowhere. So we saw that pattern. And then we saw the pattern where this family, us, the family, they would succeed, but there was struggle. There was confront. They were always confronting something. Abraham had that confrontation. Isaac had, and Jacob had. You could see a pattern. You see a women pattern in the family of Judah. You know how Judah slept with his daughter-in-law. What's her name? Tamar. And that anointing flowed. That negative mantle flowed from that family of Judah, landed on David. You know what, David? What happened to David? Took a man's wife, pushed the man to the battlefield, all manner. Then Absalom, David's son, his father's 10 concubines in the eye of Israel. It was something working. Then David's son, Solomon, he married the congregation. 700 wives, 300 concubines. That is a big church. That's a big church. Are you following what I'm saying here today? And then it landed to Rehoboam the son. And Rehoboam loved many women. You did? So this thing was just flowing. It flowed from the forefather first. So there are times when you may notice a pattern in your lineage and you take it seriously. Father went up, celebrated, and suddenly crashed to the ground level. It must never happen to me. Spells of wrong accusation happening everywhere. It can never happen to me. Do you understand what I'm talking about? A family where the young ladies, before the age of 30, they must die. Before the age of 30, they must die in the whole family. It became such a concern. What is happening? Until they discovered their forefather was a king. In a part of this country I will not mention, was a king and has many wives. Then when he died, the tradition is that the youngest wife, she will escort the king to the land of the for his journey. Do you know the meaning of that? Youngest wife is buried with the king alive. Live. This girl was 30 years, the youngest wife. And as they were taking her, she was cursing. She was cursing. You are killing me. You want me to die? Bury me alive? No girl in your family will ever reach this age. She was cursing. She was cursing. And she was laid to rest. That was the end of it. 29 till tomorrow before he become age 30, bam. It's dead. 1 year to 30, bam. 1 month to 30, bam. 1 week to 30, they were dying. Until they had to plead for mercy for that spell to be broken. I speak to someone here today. Every demonic curse that is plaguing your family and plaguing your destiny, that curse is broken. If you are saying amen, say louder, amen. If you are saying amen, say louder, amen. If you are saying amen, shout the Lord must say amen. All the way in Australia, shout the loudest, amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Somebody say aloud, amen. Is everything making sense to anybody? Right, they have heard themselves. Hallelujah. Number 7, I knew of a family where I heard that the father of the family was wicked to a slave girl. Wicked physically, wicked in abuse, wicked all around. And that girl rendered curses on that family. Notable family. Notable, well known. And what began to happen? Tragic deaths. Killings, air crash, cancer, everything bad was happening by that curse. But for somebody here, I declare a reversal. Number 7 is human pronouncements and utterances in situations of deserved curses. Again, human utterance or human pronouncements and utterance or utterances, whichever one is more appropriate, especially in conditions of deserved curses. We read earlier on in Proverbs 26 and in verse 2, he said, as they bear by wandering and as they swallow by flying, so the curse, curseless, shall not come. So the curse will come if there is a reason for it. I just said now, that person whose money was taken and the documents disappeared and it was trashed by the wicked man, that person stood up and said, that agent of the devil who took my certificates, who has caused me such a pain will never leave your life and your generation. It will happen because the person deserves it. You have taken my certificate and my documents. You will never have a family that will amount to anything. They will have no certificate. So you see, people, by the time they reach 400 level final semester, they are out of the university. By the time they get position somewhere, they are replaced with another person. Pronounce curse. Don't ever do things against people that will make them open their mouth to curse you. You will not wriggle out of it. God will honor it. You lied against a person. You betrayed a person. You did all manner of things. And the person got to know. And he uttered a curse on your life. Don't. So I will pray later. Pray how? Will you reverse the pain you caused? Will you reverse the hurt you caused? Somebody say loud amen. There are many people suffering. The little monies took from here. It will not be well with who took this money. It will not be well with who took my phone. It will not be well with who lied against me. It will not be well with you. You cannot live long. You must die. And when people speak like that from the heat of pain and the heat of emotion, it catches. That is why there are so many people who use their hands to drag things. You are busy trying to break a home. And the woman is saying, all right, let me see who will marry you. And even if you get married, let me see how you will stay in the marriage. That cost is a fixed deposit. Huh? You are the one who deserve my husband. I don't deserve him, eh? Let me see who will marry you. And even if you marry, let me see how the marriage will work. The pain you are causing me, other women will cause you. Today tough. Oh. This heartbreak you are causing me, multiply by 10 is what you will have. Except I'm not of God. Except I'm not serving the living God. Father. It is well. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a louder amen. So please, I want us to tread on our journey with caution and not to attract curses that can be avoided.
You know, when Joshua destroyed Jericho, all the lands in front of them on their way to the promised land, God asked them to demolish them. Now, when Joshua destroyed Jericho, see what Joshua said in Joshua chapter 6, verse 26. As Joshua finished and Jericho was leveled, Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that rises up to build this Jericho back. He shall lay the foundation of it at the cost of his firstborn. And his youngest son, with his youngest son, shall he set up the gate. You know what Joshua is saying? God asked me to utterly destroy Jericho. I have finished destroying Jericho. That is what God wants. Anyone who rises to do it otherwise and say, I want to build this city, by the time he's laying the foundation, his firstborn has died. By the time he has reached the place of setting up the gate, his last son has died. In the days of Ahab, a man dared to build Jericho. In 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 34, he dared. That was the days of Ahab. Okay, let's start from verse 33 fast. And Ahab made a grove. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. In his days, what God has destroyed, he was trying to rebuild. In his day, Hiel the Bethelite built Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son Segob, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua, the son of Nun. Shebi, you say you want to undo what God has done. It will cost you your son. It will cost you your firstborn. It will cost you your lastborn. Maybe the man didn't read the Bible. Maybe he didn't hear. Maybe he heard, he wanted to dare it. Maybe he thought it was an empty word. He dared it. Bam! Firstborn say headache. Laid to rest. Gate time. Bam! Last son say my chest. He was in the grave. That is the power of utterances. The spoken word provoked cause. The power. That is what happens. So, in all that we do, just ensure that you don't put yourself in the position where you provoke and attract utterances, especially when you deserve such utterances. This happens. Number 8, the possession, what can bring a curse? What can bring bondage? What can give captivity? The possession of demonic points of contacts that serve as altars. The possession of demonic points of contact. The possession of demonic points of contact. These ones begin to serve as altars. Genesis 31 and in verse 19, the Bible said, Laban went to share his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images that were his father's. Images, gods. She stole them. That was the death of Rachel. I don't have the time for the story. That image she carried was her death. Chain of events led to it. When the father looked for it, she sat on it and said her time of the month was on her. She can't stand up. Jacob said, whoever you find this image with, let him be dead.
Rachel died while giving birth to Benjamin after this encounter.
In the book of Exodus 34 and in verse 13, Exodus 34 verse 13, it said, but you shall destroy their altars, break their images, cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 5, Deuteronomy 7, 5. The Bible said, but thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, burn their graven images with fire. Burn them. Graven images. In 2 Samuel chapter 5 verse 21, in the battle with the Philistines, the Bible said the Philistines went to the battlefield with altars and images, and David and his men burnt them. David and his men burnt them. Now, let me just say the possession. Somebody is wearing a necklace. You look at it critically, it is a snake. So what is this? It's a necklace, it's decoration. Somebody here, I was praying for someone here the other day, a man. So why are you wearing this? Human skull and the sign of death. There are these things that people, somebody went into a shop to buy a fanciful image and put the image, it's like an Eastern European image, and put the image in their house. From that moment, suicidal tendency. It took prayer to identify that that was not a decoration. It was a decor altar, a shrine. That was removed. Somebody is wearing, everything is owl. You know owl? The witch bed, on the chest, on the hand, and everywhere, owl. And it's decoration. On the clothes.
One young lady many years in the Rewan church said, went and did, I think it was a snake she did in her hand as tattoo.
Every time she lay down with that hand up, there must be an attack. Another scorpion, there must be an attack.
You are looking for a scorpion? You see, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. What you are to tread upon is what you are wearing as necklace. What is on your body?
Somebody say, mercy, Lord. Why you wear the cloth? Find out.
And I don't want to frighten you. But in case you are bowing down to pick a dress that somebody wore before. You know what they call it? Second-hand clothing. Sanctify them. You step into a room. When we step into a hotel room anywhere in the world for programs, the first thing we'll do, Dr. Mr. Nature, what will we do? We'll get on our knees first, consecrate the place to God, and invoke the presence and the power of God and the blood of Jesus in that place. Because I don't know whether a devil laid there before I came. Or the person who was there invited a native doctor. And whatever was done there. Praise the Lord. Is God speaking to anybody here at all? There are these days you online, I don't know if you have come across it. They just pop up something and say, you want to find out who you were in the last life? Yes. Do you want to find out who you were in your previous life? And all you need to do is click it. And then by the time you start, they start drawing you. You are face to face with demons. Initiation. Impartations. When we did that crusade, the first crusade this year, two Emmanuels were healed of madness. One of the Emmanuels, it was online, he got mad. They invited him on to something and then he was seeing something about how to become something. And online, he got initiated online. And then he ran mad. From me, that the next place he found himself was Ilorin.
Some are with occultic books in their possession. Astral traveling, transcendental meditation.
Time travel, right? Patronizers of all manner.
For those of you in America, there's something they call the tarot card there.
Ouija boards. Crystal balls and whatever occultic prisms. You deal with those things and you encounter spirits. But today is somebody's freedom. Can somebody say a louder amen? Can somebody say a louder amen?
Lift up your right hand and say, in the name of Jesus, I reject every point of contact that is negative for my life and for my destiny. I reject now in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Do we have time for two more?
So what are those things that we have said and dealt with so far? Number one is disobedience to God in sin or iniquity. Number two, abominable behavior or practice. Number three, wickedness and bloodshed. Number four, consultation with familiar spirits, with doctors and sorcerers. Number five, evil covenants, contracts and transactions. Number six, hereditary, ancestral, generational transfers. Number seven, human pronouncement, utterances in situations of deserved curses where you did something. Number six, the possession of demonic points of contact that serve as altars. Number nine is the wrong, it's wrong limiting mindset. Wrong limiting mindset. When a person thinks for a long time like a prisoner, he ends as a prisoner. Proverbs 23 and in verse 7, he said, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. When you think you are bound, you are bound. When you think you are limited, you are limited. When you think that you are a struggler, you continue to be a struggler. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to verse 6, it said, for though we walk in the 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 6, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness
to revenge all disobedience. When your obedience is complete, you cast down imaginations and everything that is making you thinking of you in a way you are not meant to be, you cast them down. In Numbers chapter 13, verse 33, the people said,
there we saw the giants, that's Israelites speaking, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. We were as grasshoppers. The way you see yourself is the way the devil will see you.
We are as grasshoppers in our sight. I preached many years ago on the subject mental bondage and mental renovation. I'd like you to look for that message. Now, how many of you know how many people enter the promised land? Of all the people who came out of Egypt, how many people entered, the original people that came out? How many? Two. Who are those? Joshua and Caleb. What happened to the rest? They roamed in the wilderness until they perished. It is their children that was born in the wilderness that went to the promised land. Can I ask you a question? Who was the one that prevented them from coming out of Egypt? First. Who held them in Egypt first? Pharaoh. After Pharaoh has died and buried in the Red Sea, who was now the one that prevented them from entering the promised land?
It says, you know what?
Moses brought Israel
out of Egypt, but he could not succeed in bringing Egypt out of Israel. They were in Egypt until Egypt was in them. They came out of the Egypt, but the Egypt has not come out of them.
So every time they were moving forward, they were drawing backward. We remember the garlic. We remember the cucumber. We remember the onions. We remember the leeks. We sat by the flesh pots. Why did you bring us into this wilderness? It was better we remain there. The worst form of bondage is the mental one. That you couldn't reach your destiny when the witch has already died. The one you say is a wizard sitting on your life has gone. And yet you have not reached your where God wants. Aye. Some of us were a product of rugged mentality. What stopped our generation can't stop me. Where others stop is where we are starting from. We refuse to be limited. We refuse to be held down. We are the takeover generation. We are the takeover, the possessing generation. We are the Caleb generation, the generation that possessed the land. We are the Joshua generation. If there is anyone like that here, shout, I am here. Say after me, I don't care what the history of my family is. I don't care what is negative about my family. I don't care what is negative about my history. I don't care what the enemy has said about me. I have made up my mind that I shall be what God say I will be. I shall be what the Bible said I will be. No devil can stop me. Shout yes. When you come to the point I'm talking about, even the most 100% accurate prophet tells you, I hear the Lord saying that you are not going to reach there. You tell him, I hear the Lord saying you are lying. Yes. Let all of us be hearing. Papa Yedepo said, somebody came to him and said, the same way somebody came to me, me and him, we share some notes, father and son. Somebody came to him and said, God said he should give him so and so amount of money and so amount of car. And he said, at the time the man came, if you hit him on the ground, you can't get such an amount from him. So he said to the man, tell God I have not heard yet. So the man went, and after about a month or so, he returned back. He said, what about that thing I told you about that God said? He said, please let God know I'm yet to hear. When I hear, I will let you know. He has not heard it today. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you come to the point where the most important determinant of what happens to your life is God and you, that is, you are in alignment with God, irrespective of who is on the other side. We need to renovate mentality so we can upgrade destiny. Renovate mentality so that you can upgrade your destiny. That is what the Bible said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of the living God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Said, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renovation of your mentality, by the renewing of your mentality. When mentality is renovated, destiny is upgraded. Many people are not where they are because the devil is too strong now. We just saw that with Israelites. The magicians are all gone. Pharaoh is all gone. But Israel is still stuck in the wilderness because of their mind. Because of their mind. Take your seat. Hallelujah. Finally,
think I have overpreached today. Is the wrong, following the wrong mindset, is the wrong limiting utterance. Wrong limiting utterance. The things that people say from their mouth limit their destiny. It binds them. It chains them. In Proverbs chapter 6 verse 2, the Bible said, you are snared. That is trap caught you. Trap caught you with the words of your mouth. And you are taken like a captive with the words of your mouth. You became a captive. You enter prison because of what you said. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Matthew 12:27. He said, 37. Matthew 12:37. He said, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. By thy words, thou shalt be justified. By thy words, thou shalt be condemned. That will never be your portion. See what the children of Israel say? We are grasshoppers in their sight. If you are grasshopper, it means you are meant to be trampled upon. Don't say, oh no, nobody ever succeeds in my family. I cannot. Don't say, oh no, in the country we are in, it's not possible. Don't say all that. Don't say all that. Archbishop Peter Hus, our blessed memory, said, I'm what God says I am. I'm what God says I am. I am a winner and not a loser. I'm what God says I am. I'm what God says I am. I'm what God says I am. I am the head and not the tail. I'm what God says I am. I'm what God says I am. I'm what God says I am. I'm a success and not a failure. I'm what God says I am. I'm what God says I am. I'm what God says I am. I am a giver and not a beggar. I'm what. Give the Lord the praise. Thank you. For your intention, it is considered action. The intention of the choir to back up. Because there is a great relationship between intention and action. So for those who say, we have to define genocide by intention, action confirms it. The action overconfirms the intention. Hallelujah. Wrong limiting utterance. This is a tenth way. The last two look minor, but they are so major that they stopped Israel from reaching their destiny. Having said all this, very, very quickly right now, what is the way out of the curse? What is the way out of the curse? The bondage, the captivity. Number one is genuine repentance and turning away from iniquity. Genuine repentance. That is, in case of those curses, where there is disobedience and abominable practices or behavior. Genuine repentance and turning away from iniquity. In the case where someone pronounced a curse on you and you know, and the person says, you did this, you are cursed. In that case, you need amends with the person as a person. You need amends. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I stole this thing and I lied that I wasn't the one who stole it. I'm sorry. Pardon me. Please reverse what you said. Psalm 103 verse 1 to verse 5. Psalm 103 verse 1 to verse 5. The Bible said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all your iniquities and he heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from destruction. You see? That rescue from destruction, that termination of captivity began. Wait, he forgiveth all your iniquities. Very, very important. Genuine repentance. Number two,
is the ministry of the word of God. The word of God. The word of God, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them. As I'm speaking right now, deliverance is happening. Psalm 107 verse 20. He sent his word, healed them, delivered them from their destructions. This is very, very important. The word you listen to like this, the word you listen to, this kind of message, for example, and messages in this line that decree deliverances and so on, they are things that can help. Psalm 105 verse 17, the Bible said he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him, and the king sent and loosed him. The word of the Lord tried him, the king sent and loosed him. The word of the Lord tried him, his word came, and the chain got broken. John 8:32-36, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And if the Son of Man has set you free, you shall be free indeed. The word of God is truth. Whenever you are challenged in any area, look for the word of God in that area. And you sit on them. Out of it can come a revelation. Somebody said that he was having so many nightmares. If he lies down to sleep, it's baptized with nightmares. And then he went through the Bible and suddenly he saw that he giveth his beloved sleep. He saw that passage that God gives his beloved sleep. He said, God cannot give me sleep, and the sleep is a terror sleep. That was his deliverance. From that day forward, that devil checked out. The ministry of the word. Number three, the action of prayer and fasting. And let me announce before I go, in the name of Jesus, God will reveal to somebody that word that will set you free completely in Jesus' name. Number three, the action of prayer and fasting. Isaiah 58, verse 6 and 8. Isaiah 58, he says, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke? So fasting, verse 6, fasting makes the, go back to verse 6, fasting makes, breaks bands of wickedness. Fasting undoes heavy burdens. Fasting releases the oppressed, and fasting and prayer breaks the yokes. Matthew 17:21, he said, nevertheless, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So prayer and fasting is a tool to check devils out. The 21-day fast is coming shortly in January. Ensure you are a part of it. But I announce today, every yoke on your life is broken in Jesus' name. Number four is the power of true worship and praise. The climate of praise is the climate of deliverance. Psalm 32 and in verse 7, it said, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Worship, true praise climate. Surround your life with worship. Surround your life with praise. It causes deliverance to happen to you progressively. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 23, when David was bound by an unclean spirit, familiar spirit, Saul took an instrument, and as he played, the evil spirit departed. The evil spirit departed from Saul. The evil spirit departed from him, and he was refreshed. 1 Samuel 16 and in verse 23. So, praying and fasting. Number five is the ministry of the prophet. Your prophet is positioned for your deliverance. Hosea 12:13, he said, and by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved. Egypt is symbolic of captivity. And I decree today, everyone who is in any form of Egypt, the end of your captivity is here. Shout the loudest, amen! And of course, you remember Luke chapter 13 verse 10, how a woman was bound with the spirit of infirmity. He was in the synagogue teaching in one of the Sabbaths, and then, behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when she saw Jesus, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight
and glorified God. She was loosed instantly from the spirit of infirmity. Somebody say a louder amen. And that is why we are here this morning. After this service, in a short while, I'm going to be leading us in a general covenant renouncement. And after we do that, declarations will come. And everything that has limited... Now listen, you are not... I believe that God is so strategic. We are about to enter into a new year and he wants us to deal with this matter. I announce to you today, everything that is a curse or a spell on your life is not permitted to follow you into the next year. It's not permitted to follow you into the new year. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. You are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. Take your seat in the ministry of the prophet. And number six is the act of sacrifice. Sacrifice has liberation power. Genesis 8, 20 to 22, the Bible said, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelt a sweet savour, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. Meaning, by the virtue of this sacrifice, I take the curse from the earth. I take the curse from the earth. I break the curse from the earth. I take the curse from the earth by this sacrifice. Psalm 126 verse 1 all the way to verse 5. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. There was our laughter, our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap with joy. Captivities can be turned around with sacrificial power. Whenever sacrifice is called, be in the forefront. Also, you can by yourself call a sacrifice for yourself. Lord, for myself, for my family, for my wife, for my children, for my career, I lay this on the altar. Every spell and every yoke which is standing against me, be dissolved. Number seven is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The ministry of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 17. 1 Corinthians 3, 17. The Bible said, 2 Corinthians 3, 17. The Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The climate of the Spirit is the climate of liberty. That is where, when the power of God begins to move, you see people screaming and things happening. You know, you see that in Luke 4:18. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives by the Spirit of the Lord, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. The Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit of liberty. That is why we are here today. We are here for liberty in the Spirit. Somebody say amen. In a short while from now, we are going to pray. And I plead with you, don't take a step out until this matter is settled as we step into the coming year. Somebody say amen. You saw all the things that can bring the curses. Anyone that you feel guilty about, ask God for mercy. The ones you need to take action, you take action. You cursed me because I stole something from you. I am sorry. Please help me reverse this curse. I'm sorry. Pardon me. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Stand up on your feet where you are everywhere. Take your seat. Every time you eat and the food is so heavy, to stand up is hard. But stand up now with a shout of victory. Hallelujah.
How many of you can confirm that this is one of the most critical messages on freedom, on liberty, on deliverance you ever heard? One of the most crucial, critical, and is changing your life today. Lift your hands and lift your voice and appreciate God for His word. 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 Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the praise.
Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Lift your voice after me and say, Father. Say it louder. Say, Father, I am before you today. I thank you for your word. To me today, I receive liberty.
I receive liberty,
I receive liberty.
I receive liberty.
By your word.
By your word.
Father, help me,
not to fail you.
Help me
not to fail you.
Help me
not to fail you.
Help me
to be totally free
of every curse,
of every spell,
every enchantment,
every divination,
every work of diabolism
affecting my life
and my destiny.
I receive that freedom
right now
in the name of Jesus.
Open your mouth and pray for the next.
For the next.
Pray for the next.
1 minute.
Please don't let me go the way I came today. Touch me with your hand. Oh, Lord, please don't let me go the way I came today. Touch me with your hand. Jesus,
please don't let me go the way I came today. Touch me with your hand. Oh, Lord, please don't let me go the way I came today. Touch me with your hand. Please don't let me go the way I came today. Touch me with your hand. Oh Lord, please don't let me go the way I came today. Touch me with your hand. Jesus.